The special 10 Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special 10 Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special 10 Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special 10 Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you back once again to our very special program, The Special Ten. In which, inshallah, we are going to be continuing with our discussion with regards to the blessed lives of those 10 special and specific individuals, those 10 special companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who received the glad tidings of paradise, glad tidings of heaven in this very world through the blessed tongue of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And indeed, as we've mentioned in our previous episodes as well, that our belief is that every companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every sahabi, every companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indeed a person destined for heaven, is indeed a person destined for paradise and Jannah. And at many other occasions as well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned companions who were deserving of paradise. But these 10 special individuals, these are known as the Ashara Mubashara, those 10 individuals who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he mentioned all of their names together, it is mentioned in a narration where he named all of these individuals, and after each one of the names he said that he is in Jannah, he is in paradise. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he is in paradise, and so on and so forth. So these 10 special individuals, they are amazing individuals. They're people that gave a lot of sacrifices. They sacrificed a lot for the sake of Islam. They assisted a lot, especially at the initial stages, they assisted in spreading Islam, in helping the Muslims, especially the poor and needy Muslims at that time. Some of these companions were a great support for that as well. So likewise is the blessed companion that whose life we're currently discussing, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. And one of his most outstanding qualities and attributes are one of the most outstanding qualities that he possesses is his wealth and then his generosity with that wealth. Inshallah, this is a topic that we will be discussing at another point. But before we actually go into our discussion for today, let's listen to a blessing of reciting salawat and salam upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. A summary of a narration which is narrated by Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu himself. He says that once I went to the Masjid Nabawi, the blessed masjid of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exiting the masjid, coming out of the masjid. So I started to follow him, and he was in front and I was going behind him, I was following him. He did not pay much attention to my presence, and he continued until he reached a garden, an orchard or a garden, and he faced towards the Qibla and he went into sajda. He went into prostration. He prostrated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he went into sajda and he did a long sajda. He performed a long sajda. And I was standing at a distance observing this. So when the sajda became long, I thought that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused the physical departure of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this world, the apparent demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I went close and I was bowing down, I was lowering my head and looking at the blessed countenance, the blessed face of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at that point, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted his blessed head from the sajda, and having seen me in this state, he He says that, "Oh Abdul Rahman bin Auf, what has happened to you?" So I said, I requested that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when you made your sajda long, when you elongated, and when you prolonged your sajda, your prostration, I thought that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused your apparent demise from this world. And that's why I was bowing my head and lowering my head and looking at your blessed face." And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that when you saw me entering this orchard, this garden, at that point, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, so Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam, he came and he met me. And he says to me that he gave me a glad tiding. Sayyidina Jibreel ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, he met me and he gave me this glad tiding that whichever ummati, whichever followers of yours sends durood, sent salawat upon you, whichever follower of yours sends durood upon you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave me this glad tiding that whichever follower of yours, whichever ummati of yours sends salam upon you, then Allah will send salam upon him. And whichever follower of yours sends durood upon you, then Allah will send durood upon him. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayka ya Rasulullah. So this is the blessed companion Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala an, who was looking at the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the blessed enlightened face of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from such a close angle as well. And he is indeed a companion, he is indeed a sahabi of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has received many, many blessings from the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Now last episode we discussed and we looked at some of a brief introduction to this blessed companion. And we mentioned that inshallah we will look at a brief discussion with regards to his blessed mother radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Her name is Shifa bint Auf bin Abd bin Harith bin Zuhra. And she was also then from the Zuhri tribe, from the Zuhri family, which is the family of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu anha as well. And she is actually from amongst those women who has the privilege and this great status of being a woman who migrated, who performed the hijrah, who migrated. So she has this great privilege of having performed hijrah. And she was an extremely pious woman. And she passed away during the life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she departed from this world during the physical life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon this earth. And after she had passed away, the blessed companion Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu, he presented himself in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I free a slave on behalf of my mother?" And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Yes." He allowed, he permitted. So then, he radiallahu anhu, he freed a slave for his mother, on behalf of his mother. A beautiful Madani pearl for us to pick up from here. Those of us whose parents are alive, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a long, healthy life, full of afiyat, full of peace and good deeds, and full of sunnahs. And those of our parents who have passed away, those from amongst us whose parents have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. And as children, we need to make sure that we are doing something which benefits our parents. Those of us whose parents have passed away, we need to be doing something which is a good deed, doing good actions and then sending that reward to them. And this is what we pick from Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, from his life, from his attitude. After his mother has passed away, he comes to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asks for permission to free a slave on behalf of his mother, even though she has passed away. So this also shows us that the companions radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, they did what we term as isal thawab. They did some sort of sadaqah or some sort of good deed which they then delivered the reward of to the deceased, that they were doing this deed for. And likewise, the companions, radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Also, we learn that Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radhiyallahu anhu, and this was his love and respect that he had for his mother. Likewise, in many books of hadith, like Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, Sunan Abu Dawud, Sunan Nasa'i, etc., and in many other books of hadith, this blessed hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this blessed hadith is mentioned, narrated by Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. إن رجلا قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن أمي افتلتت نفسها وأظنها لو تكلمت تصدقت. A man came into the court of the beloved Rasul صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and he says that, Ya Rasulullah, my mother has suddenly passed away. My mother has passed away, and I believe if she spoke, and this, the muhaddithin, they explain this, meaning if she was alive, then she would give sadaqah, she would give charity. فَهَلْ لَهَا أَجْرٌ إِن تَصَدَّقْتُ عَنْهَا. Then is there reward for her? Will she get the reward if I do sadaqah, if I give charity on her behalf? قَالَ نَعَمْ. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says yes. And this is a muttafaqun alayhi narration, and narrations of similar meanings and similar wording can be found in multiple books of ahadith. And Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahma, a great scholar, a great expert in the field of hadith, he is an individual who passed away at a pretty young age, at a young age. But at the same time, because he had dedicated himself to the field of hadith so much, that even though he lived, and he passed away over 700 years ago, even though he lived in such an age where there was no media for him to become known worldwide, and yet, even during his own lifetime, even though he was so young, he was known for his speciality of hadith. Not just in his area, not just in his place, but worldwide as well. At many places across the world. So this was his dedication to the field of hadith, and this is his expertise. That even such a young age, during his lifetime, he is accepted and he is famous at many places around the world for his expertise in this field. When he's commenting upon this narration in his sharh of Sahih Muslim, he says, وَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ جَوَازُ الصَّدَقَةِ عَنِ الْمَيِّتِ وَاسْتِحْبَابُهَا. That in this hadith there is a proof of giving sadaqah, charity on behalf of the deceased person. And also there is proof of that being mustahab, being a desirable act. Not only is it a permissible act, but rather a desirable act. وَأَنَّ ثَوَابَهَا يَصِلُهُ وَيَنْفَعُهُ. And that the thawab, the reward of this sadaqah, the reward of this charity, reaches the deceased and benefits it. وَيَنْفَعُ الْمُتَصَدِّقُ أَيْضًا. And it also benefits the person who is giving the sadaqah. وَهَذَا كُلُّهُ أَجْمَعَ عَلَيْهِ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. And all of this is what is the consensus of the Muslims, what the Muslims have agreed upon. So this is over 700 years ago, and because when we speak about the topic of Isal Thawab, usually an impression is given that this is something that originated in Pakistan or India, or this is something new. But we see even from the time of the companions, radwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they are giving charity for the sake of the deceased, on behalf of the deceased. And Sidna Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, a scholar who passed away, who left this world, who passed away over 700 years ago, he is also deriving the same conclusion from this hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Likewise, many other ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam state giving sadaqah and the permissibility of giving sadaqah for the deceased. In fact, in another narration which is narrated, where Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he goes up to two men, and he says that, look, there is a masjid close to you, which is the Masjid al-Ashar. And who from amongst you takes it upon themselves, bears the responsibility that he will go and pray 2 rakat or 4 rakat on my behalf. And what does he say after that? When he prays that salah, وَيَقُولُ هَذِهِ لِأَبِي هُرَيْرَ. That this is for Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an. Why? He mentions the reasoning as well, that سَمِعْتُ خَلِيلِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I heard my beloved, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yaqul, Well, I heard him saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مِن مَسْجِدِ الْعَشَّارِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شُهَدَى. That on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect shuhada, martyrs from this masjid al-ashar. لَا يَقُومُ مَعَ شُهَدَاءِ بَدْرِ وَغَيْرُهُمْ. That nobody will be along with the shuhada, the martyrs of Badr, except these shuhada. So for this reason, Sina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and this is a companion of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's asking these people to go and pray 2 rak'at nafar on his behalf. So not only just sadaqah, but any form of worship. And now Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi, when commenting upon this hadith, and Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi, he's a scholar who passed away over 400 years ago, so still quite old. And obviously the hadith themselves, they are the practices from the times of the companions, from the times of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he passed away over 400 years ago, and he says, وَقَالَ عُلَمَاؤُنَا الْأَصْلُ فِي الْحَجِّ عَنِ الْغَيْرِ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ ثَوَابَ عَمَلِهِ لِغَيْرِهِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَاتِ وَالْأَحْيَى. That the ulama have agreed that the actual basis and the reality of Hajj, for example, on performing on behalf of someone else, Hajj on behalf of someone else, is that a person can make the reward, the thawab of that action that he gains, he can make that for someone else. Meaning he can send it to someone else. Min al amwati wal ahya. Be that individual from the deceased, from those people who have passed away, or an alive individual. Meaning you can even do isal al thawab to an alive person. And then he says, Hajjan, أو صلاة أو صوما أو صدقة أو غيرها كتلاوة القرآن والأذكار. That be it Hajj, be it Salah, be it Sawm, or be it Sadaqa, charity, or anything else other than them, like the recitation of Quran and Adhkar. So any one of these things, a person, he can send that thawab to someone else. فَإِذَا فَعَلَ شَيْئًا مِّنْ هَذَا وَجَعَلَ ثَوَابَهُ لِغَيْرِهِ جَازَ وَيَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ. So he further goes on to say that if he does any one of these actions, and then he delivers that reward to this person, this other person, be it an alive person or a deceased, somebody who's left this world, somebody who's passed away, or somebody who's alive, this, when he does this, jaza, this is permissible, وَيَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ, and it reaches that person. So that means this sawab, this reward reaches that person, وَيَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. So it reaches that person according to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So this is the opinion of the scholars from even a few hundred years back. So this is nothing new, and this is an act that has existed since the time of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These ahadith I just mentioned just to illustrate the point that this act of isar thawab, this act of sending the reward of our good deeds to someone else, or reciting Quran and then sending that reward to someone else, this is nothing new. This is not something that was invented in Pakistan or India, as usually the impression is given a lot of the times. So this was a side pointer, or something that we actually picked up from the blessed life of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to also send reward and isal thawab to our parents, be it whether they are alive or they've passed away. In both cases, we need to be sending, we need to be doing good deeds and sending a reward, sending that reward to our parents, and constantly praying for their forgiveness, whether they are alive or they have passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon this blessed way of the companions and this blessed way of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala an. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salamun alayka ya Rasulullah. So Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu an, when we look at his life, it is narrated in Hilyatul Awliya, certain glimpses of his character, you can say. In Hilyatul Awliya, it is stated that Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, despite him being very rich, and inshallah, this is an aspect that we do intend to talk in detail about, because this is a beautiful aspect, and he has a beautiful reason for it. You know, his wealth, the blessings of in his wealth, why and how did he obtain that? There's a beautiful reason to that as well, which inshallah we will discuss in the upcoming episodes. So Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, despite being quite well off, despite being rich, he still lived a simple life, a simplistic life. He led a simple life. And the wealth that he has been granted, the wealth that he had been granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he spent it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he constantly sought refuge from the calamities that wealth brings, or the trials that wealth brings. The calamities and the trials that wealth brings, he always sought refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from those calamities. And the scholars have mentioned many calamities that wealth can bring. For example, making a person heedless from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is undergoing some sort of a difficulty, when he's undergoing a difficult situation, at that time he is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is praying and he is making dua and he is constantly asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make his situation better. But a lot of the times when his situation actually becomes better and he becomes either financially stable or whatever stress, whatever worry, whatever issue he was undergoing, whatever problem he was going through, when that is taken away, when he is relieved from that problem, when he is relieved from that anxiety, then he usually starts to forget. He actually does not pray as much, he does not remember Allah, he does not do dhikr of Allah as much, he does not ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much. So this is one of the trials that wealth brings. When a person is extremely wealthy, he has it easy in that sense. At that point, he may become heedless of the remembrance of Allah. Such a wealth, you know, wealth in itself is not something bad. And this is another thing that we do intend to discuss. But wealth in itself is not negative, it's not bad. In fact, good wealth for a good person, a righteous person, is actually good. Like we derive and we see from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So wealth in itself is not bad, but when wealth is starting to make a person heedless from the remembrance of Allah, or it is starting to make him neglect the remembrance of Allah so much that he, pursuing this wealth out of pursuit or for his financial goals, whilst he's pursuing his goals, he's actually forgetting to remember Allah to the extent that he is even leaving his faraid, his obligations, like he's not going and praying his salah because he's busy at his job, because he's busy accumulating that wealth. Now that wealth is the one that is criticized. That wealth is the one that is becoming a means of heedlessness for this individual. And also that wealth which he gains in order to show off, in order to express his dominance over others, that wealth is also the wealth that is criticized. So now Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, for this reason, he would seek refuge in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these trials and tribulations that that wealth brings within itself. Likewise, whether he was in a state of happiness, in a state of joy, or in a state of sadness, he would always be busy, he would always be engrossed in the remembrance of Allah. He would always, his hopes and his only means of hope would be the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be it whether he was sad or whether he was going through a good time in his life, a luxurious time or an easy time, an enjoyable time in his life, or a saddening time. In both of these cases, he was constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, he would obtain ibrah and he would obtain lessons. He would obtain lessons in a sense that would remind him of the hereafter from his eyes and from the heart. Meaning this is something that actually we see in the lives of the pious individuals throughout the history. The pious awliya, the sahaba themselves, the tabi'een and the awliya, whenever they would see an incident, they would take heed from it. They would take a lesson from it. It would be a means of admonition for them. Meaning that they would take a lesson and it would remind them of the hereafter. So Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he was from amongst those individuals who took ibrat, who took a lesson from the events that happened, that took place in his life. For example, we see Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham radiallahu anhu, he once went to a public bathroom where, you know, everybody would go and it was a public bathroom, so they would go and have ghusl, have bath there, and so on and so forth. So it was like a public facility for the public to use. Now Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he tried to get in, but he was stopped by the security guard, by the person at the door. Why? Because he needed to pay a dirham to gain entry into the public bathroom so he could use it. So to use the facility, he needed to pay one dirham. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, when he was asked for one dirham, he sat down and he started to cry. And the person at the door, having seen him cry so much, he actually not only felt sorry for him, but he says that, Ya Hadrat, you know, you go through, I won't charge you a dirham. You don't need to cry over it. Stop crying and go through. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, he gave him a beautiful reply. He gave him an amazing reply. And he says that, who is crying over your asking for one dirham? No, I'm not crying over that. I'm not crying because you've asked me for a dirham. I am crying because this is a public facility. These are public bathrooms, public washrooms, to which every person goes, be it a person who is pious or a person who is a sinner, who is a transgressor. Everybody goes here. And yet, I am being stopped because I don't have one dirham here. Then what if I am stopped on the day of judgment from entering paradise because I don't have a good deed or I don't have a sufficient amount of good deeds? Keeping in mind that paradise is a place which is only for the pious. This public place is for the pious. Pious people go there and the sinners also go there. And yet I am being stopped. What if I am stopped from entering paradise on the day of judgment because I am short of good deeds? Allahu Akbar. You know, the way the awliya, the pious predecessors, they would link every incident to their hereafter. It shows that they were concerned about their hereafter. And yet, what is our state? Are we concerned about the safety of our iman, our faith? Are we concerned about our hereafter? What is going to happen to us in the hereafter? What are our actions leading us to? What would be the end result of our actions that we do today? No, everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody is claiming that he wants to go to heaven. He loves to go to heaven. And yet, upon which track are our actions taking us? This is something to keep in mind. This is something for us to ponder over. And if you want to go right, you want to walk right, and yet you're facing this way and you're going this way, and yet somehow you hope to end up here, and you're just walking in a straight line this way, that is foolishness in itself. And nobody would be looking at you and thinking, what a wise individual. Likewise, if we want to go to paradise, and yet we're constantly carrying out actions which lead to hellfire, then what are we doing? What hope do we have? Indeed, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is boundless and limitless. If He wishes, He can forgive. But we need to do actions. We need to carry out actions which attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do so. So Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anh, he really favored and he had this affection for the poor and the needy. And he would give them money, he would give them charity with his own hands. And he was a role model in terms of spending upon the poor and needy. He was a role model for the wealthy, the way he spent upon the poor and needy. And this is indeed a great aspect of his life, which we will, inshallah azawajal, discuss in one of the upcoming episodes, inshallah azawajal. This is Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anh. Very briefly, we've looked, and also because we've picked up many Madani pearls through his blessings and through the blessings of discussing his life, inshallah azawajal, we've learnt quite a bit, and we will continue with the discussion of the life of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anh in our upcoming episode. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to remember, act upon, and pass on to others what we've heard today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill the love of all the companions, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, in our hearts. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special ten sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. The special ten sahabas, radiyallahu